There's a better place to get your podcast. GCNlive.com. Hundreds of thousands of hours. Archive for your listening pleasure. All free at GCNlive.com.
Hey.
Here I am in Washington, D.C., and we are broadcasting right across from the Supreme Court at Families First USA Radio Row, stopping by Ian Millhiser, right?
That's right.
Ian Millhiser is with me. He's so patient. He's been sitting here smiling and so affable, and he's got a cool book out, which I'm sure I'm going to be reading. You know, I come from a family of lawyers. Injustices, the Supreme Court's History of Comforting the Comfortable and Afflicting the Afflicted. Wow. And speaking of the afflicted, of course, the whole thing now is about this challenge, King versus Burwell, and whether or not maybe up to 13 million people will lose their subsidies. That's really, if we drove a stake into it, that's at the heart of this. Your take on how big it is to tell the listeners that this isn't just, oh, a challenge to the Affordable Care Act, that this could mean for people listening, those that need those subsidies, they're out, right?
Right. I mean, this is a huge lawsuit. We're talking about millions, as you said, as many as 13 million people could lose their health insurance. By one estimate, 10,000 people will die every year if this case goes the wrong way.
So how do you get the estimate of, because I know people will challenge, how does Ian come up with 10,000 people will die, and what do you mean by that?
So there was a study that was done in Massachusetts which found that for something like for every, like, I think it was 834 people who were insured under Romney Care.
Right.
One person who otherwise would have died wound up living because they were able to afford health care. That's what this study said. And so if you take those numbers and you flesh them out nationally to the states that will be impacted by this King decision, then it adds up to this. It's about 9,900 people.
Wow.
will wind up dying every year. So that's a lot of mothers who won't get to hold their sons again, and a lot of husbands who won't get to kiss their wives again if this case goes badly.
What do you say, Ian, to the people on? You know, this has obviously been controversial from the start. Healthcare is so personal for so many people. If you're healthy, you feel one way, then all of a sudden somebody in your family gets thrown into a tumultuous situation, and right, then you realize what, you know, where we are. So when you look at the trajectory of this, and there was problems stumbling out with, you know, getting people signed up and all of that, what do you tell the critics, the people listening out there that are like, this is terrible? How can we, you know, we just need to erase the state lines, and why can't we this be about competition? And what do you tell them about the reasons why that doesn't work?
Right. So when you're talking about insuring millions of people who have previously been uninsured, that's a massive undertaking. And with any massive undertaking, there are a lot of opportunities for logistical failures, and we have seen many of them.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that there are plenty of opportunities for things to go wrong doesn't mean that things can't be cured, that they weren't cured. And what we see, you know, you can look at the Gallup polls that show that it used to be that 18% of the country was uninsured, and now it's closer to 12 or 13% of the nation is uninsured. So we're seeing that line go straight down. We've seen healthcare costs finally start to come under control. You know, one of the biggest threats to our economy is that the cost of health care was inflating faster than everything else was, including wages.
Mm-hmm.
So even though people were getting raises, their entire raise and then maybe more of their base income was getting eaten up by their increased health care costs. That has started to come under control since this law. So all of the horrible things that we thought would happen, or at least that people said would happen, haven't happened. And it's part of what makes this lawsuit so shocking. Because, you know, why would the Supreme Court, at the moment of the law's greatest triumph, and, you know, at the moment when it's clear that, like, all the things that people were worried about, actually, we don't need to be worried about them, then say, oh, no, just kidding, based on a reading of the law that's frankly laughable, we're going to take health care away from millions of people.
Well, and why is it that, I mean, this is almost a layup question, and you know the court systems and whatnot. What I don't understand is why can't why wouldn't this be a common denominator? I get politics and I get ideologies, but why wouldn't this be a common denominator? Why wouldn't there be more committees to work this all out, both Republican and Democrat?
You know, I wish I knew the answer to that question, because it would have saved us a pretty difficult last 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, I can tell you this. So Bill Kristol, who's now a very prominent conservative writer, used to be a fairly influential Republican strategist, wrote a memo during the Clinton health care fight where he said, look, we got to block this thing because people will really like it if they get health care, and
right.
it's going to be hard for Republicans to win elections.
Right.
So, like, I think once people realize what Obamacare has actually accomplished, they're really going to like it. And there's obviously a lot of people a lot of politicians who have an interest in making sure that people don't really like Barack Obama.
So you think it's all about that. It's all about the political side of it, in a sense. If, depending, 2016 is huge, well, what if it's Hillary Clinton that comes in? Then it would be kind of the same continuum that would go down, and depending on the makeup, I guess, of Congress, too, as well. And you look at numbers and you look
right.
at that. So what's your gut tell you when we... with the Supreme Court on this one, what way do you think it goes? I'm all about predicting.
Right.
Yeah, I'm a sports person too. So, what do you think?
Yeah, no, it's a good question. I mean, as you can guess from the title of my book,
mm-hmm.
Injustices, you know, I'm not a fan of the Supreme Court or of the Supreme Court as an institution. That said, the Supreme Court is very different from the president and Congress. You know, if you're an elected lawmaker, you have the will of the people behind you. If you're the Supreme Court of the United States, the only thing that gives you legitimacy is that you have to follow the law. And I am hopeful, and we've seen some signs, especially from Chief Justice Roberts, that he may think this way, that he will realize that in a case like this, where it would be so partisan, and we have so little legal basis to do so, if he were to gut the Affordable Care Act in this partisan environment, it is going to destroy the legitimacy of his institution, and hopefully that'll give him pause and it'll make him back away.
So, we know that they're hearing the oral arguments. We won't know the decision probably till, who knows, June. They could, just before they, you know, take a break, it could come down then. So there'll be a lot of speculation and a lot of back and forth. Let's say that the subsidies basically go bust, meaning Texas would be affected because the people there, Florida, some of the biggest places, Georgia would be
right.
another place. I mean, basically, let's give or take 13 million people. Then what happens to them in the system?
Well, you know, and that is the real tragedy. You know, I mean, there's a gentleman who filed a brief in the court who he has a heart condition. He's otherwise in peak physical care. I think he's actually a physical therapist.
Right.
But he has this heart condition where every 15 years or so he has to have an open heart surgery or his heart stops. If he doesn't get the surgery, which costs $700,000 a year, he dies. What do you think is going to happen to him without health insurance? You know, I know people who are transplant patients that have to spend $10,000 a year on anti-rejection drugs, or their own immune system will attack their lungs, will attack their kidney, will attack whatever organ they've received. What is going to happen to them without health insurance? So, I mean, this is a case about life and death.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and that's what America is going to look like if the Supreme Court does the wrong thing in King. It's going to look like a much nastier place.
Well, I think we're going to have a lot of people that are going to be out there. The Supreme Court steps on all sides of this, talking about it. And for everybody listening across America, listening to the show in the nooks and crannies, please send us your thoughts, as always, at AmericaTonight.net. Ian Millhiser, very good. Injustices is the name of the book. You can pick it up on Amazon?
Absolutely.
All right, pick it up on Amazon. We'll continue here on Radio Row. Stay with us, everybody.
Thank you.
Heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado, and to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis.
but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Making the right decisions is a challenge to investors. Are we going to see economic growth, slide into a recession, or at worst, depression? Hi, Ted Anderson from Midas Resources. We all know when a company acts irresponsibly, divesting ourselves in a move towards safety is prudent. When the market becomes volatile, U.S. treasuries are a safe haven. But what do you do when the U.S. government overextends itself and spends beyond its means? Many investors are turning toward gold as a common sense alternative to traditional paper investments. Midas Resources has put together a powerful book titled 10 Reasons to Own Gold, discussing costs, benefits, risks, featuring full color illustrations, weights, and measures. The book is free and can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. Paper investments are dwarfed by gold's 6,000-year history. Discover how gold may be right for you and your IRA by calling 800-686-2237. Whether buying or it's time for you to sell, the book is free. Call 800-686-2237.
So we decided to upgrade the look of our home.
You know, improve the curb appeal.
We decided to add the look of stone to the exterior.
We really like the stacked stone look.
Yeah, but when I checked into the price, it was ridiculous. No way could we afford it.
Then a friend told me about Genstone. G-E-N-S-T-O-N-E.
Genstone comes in lightweight panels made of polyurethane. They've actually engineered the hassle out of installation. No mortar, no mesh. It was easy. Even I could do it.
We just screwed the panels to the wall and it looks like stone. I mean, it really looks like stone.
Yeah, from the box to the wall in minutes.
We love the look of our home now.
And Genstone is durable, comes with a 25-year warranty, and offers additional R-value for insulation.
If you want the look of stone at a price you can afford, call Genstone.
At 855-955-STONE.
Trust me, you'll save money.
And you'll love the look.
855-955-STONE. That's 855-955-7866.
Coming up at the tail end of the hour, we're going to be talking with Jeff Steyer. And Jeff Steyer has plenty to say, not about Obamacare and what happened with the Supreme Court oral arguments and predicting, as Ian was talking about there, what's going to happen, because, of course, I pressed him for a prediction. And he was one of the many guests you didn't get to hear last time around, so I was glad that you got a chance to hear him and his perspective, because that's what it's all about. Even if it's not my point of view or your point of view, let's let everybody have a piece of the conversation. But coming up at the tail end of the hour, there is no doubt that I am all over this. Jeff Steyer joins us and has plenty to say about how the consumers are being hoodwinked over a chemical that's being used to produce durable plastic that may become a thing of the past and could end up costing all of us in many, many ways. So it's the reverse of what you're constantly hearing about plastics and paper and all of that. This has to do with a specific chemical, and I'm going to let him tell you why it's so important, because when I got the report, I was blown away, let's just say that. And that's happening in our last segment of this hour. In the meantime, so much else has gone on that we want to hit up odds and ends. We won't know about the challenge to the subsidies part of Obamacare until June. It's always so convenient, isn't it? Because then the decision is handed down, the vote is out there, and the opinions are read and whatnot. and the robes are off on vacation. Okay, we're gone. And this is what the decision is that was handed down. But there's plenty of conversation about the cockamamie incident with the Secret Service, and it gets even juicier. I mean, I just can't resist this. What kind of bumbleheads are running different departments of our government? The Secret Service agents that were suspected of driving under the influence when their car smashed into a barrier outside of the White House, apparently, not only were stinking drunk, and that's why that happened, they were responding to something. Remember, that was the other thing, and I kept trying to find that out, even through my contacts, and people were pretty mum on it. Well, as it turns out, they probably were responding to an active bomb investigation. So they might have driven over the suspected bomb. Really, can you make this stuff up? They were responding to something. They probably ran over the bomb. It was an orange security barrier that they smacked into. And they drove over a package that was tossed out of a car by a woman who was screaming, "This is a bomb, this is a bomb." So there were two different things at work here. And they were coming back from a work party at a bar near Chinatown about eight blocks away when all of this happened. And you had a senior level guy. In other words, a heartbeat away from the president. That's what one of the Secret Service agents had that gig. Crazy. So the new director, Joe Clancy, waited a long time, didn't he, to tell us? Because this happened on March 4th. We keep hearing about transparency, so I just got to point it out. Every time there is no transparency, we're just going to bring it up so you know. Scorecard, 2,000 incidents that are not transparent. The president said he supported the Secret Service and knows that, you know, said that he knew the agents involved and he's disappointed in their conduct, but he supports the Secret Service. So, you know, hey, it was misconduct and blah, blah, blah. In the case of the director, Joe Clancy, he said he already made the decision to just push it over to Homeland Security. And he had informed the White House right away, so he thought that was it. That was the right thing to do. What a bunch of boobs. Somebody throwing out a bomb, running over it, smacking into the barrier. Really, it's crazy, isn't it? It does also show that you could pierce this bubble of false security. So anybody who has any crazy ideas, they'll continue to have those crazy ideas because they're not real. You know, what's the fear? What's the fear when you see these loosey-goosey things that are going on? And there's just too many of them, I think, in a row. But anyway, they'll just say the same thing. Okay, we're going to make sure that that doesn't happen. The president's still confident. He's disappointed. Joe Clancy reported it. Homeland Security's looking into it, and so on and so forth. All right, speaking of being looked into, we talked about heavily, and we talked about this with Avi Davis, who I think is fantastic, on our last show about Iran and these negotiations with Iran and the senators sending a letter to the mullahs, basically, saying, don't trust this agreement. Just so you know, it's not a binding agreement. When the president's gone, anything can happen. Because really, Congress wanted to be involved in this. So here's what Lindsey Graham says. If the UN Security Council attempts to undo sanctions on Iran that were put there by Congress, let's take away the funding. Let's take it away. Because the Security Council is considering lifting the UN sanctions on Iran, which would make it much more difficult for Congress to get around that deal signed by the administration. So this deal on Iran's nuclear program is a treaty, which is true. It's a treaty, and it can't be signed by the president without the Senate's approval. So the Republicans are saying, don't you dare. Don't you dare, because we're not going to let this happen. And remember, Graham was one of the 47 who signed that letter to Iran last week saying, hey, this isn't enforceable, so you know, because you don't have our approval, you can sign away.
Go ahead, sign away, you Ayatollahs. It doesn't matter. And now they're getting massive criticism for that. But as Lindsey Graham said, this is, you know, what do you want us to do? This is what we had to do, and we're not apologizing for it, because the president is threatening to veto a bill that would require congressional approval of lifting the current sanctions. So there you have it. And you know what? It is a really big deal. It is a really big deal as to this territorial stakeout that's going on in Washington. Because when the president says to the Senate and the House, look, do what you want. Toss it in my direction at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, but I'm going to veto any effort to look at the deal and have a vote as to whether or not we waive the sanctions, you know, period. So this isn't going to be open and shut, and it didn't look like it was anyway. It never looked that way, and it's not playing out that way at this point. I mean, who are we funding? When we fund the United Nations, parts of the United Nations, what are we funding? What are we funding there? And we're in the middle of this, you know, we're in the middle of this battle. So where are we headed with this? Where should we be headed with Iran? I mean, what really should we be doing? Certainly sticking to tougher sanctions, because there were tougher ones proposed, which I thought should have happened all along and didn't happen. And imagine if we cut the funding for the United Nations, no matter what. Imagine that, because that's your taxpayer dollars. Wow. What would happen then? What would happen then? What would happen if the UN was defunded? I mean, the idea of the UN was to promote peace and goodwill and diplomacy and have a third, kind of another, I won't say a third, have another layer of, I'll call it protection, with the peacekeepers on the ground coming into certain areas, watching out for human rights. And some of that has happened at the UN, right? Some of that has happened, but some of it has not happened. And when you think of the parcel of money that we're throwing out there, I bet there'd be some people that would say, you know what, Lindsey Graham, I'm agreeing with you. So if you're saying let's defund it, let's do it. Let's do it. And not even think twice. I mean, not even think twice. Who controls the UN? Who controls the UN? It's an international gang, in some cases, of thugs. As I said, I think there are good people that work for the UN. I think there's some great research that's being done. So I'm not anti-United Nations. I would say that you could probably cut off some of what's going on at the UN, because it makes no sense. And there's a lot of skullduggery happening that shouldn't be happening.
The Freeze-Dry Guy, leader in the preparedness industry for 44 years, is closing his California warehouse. Don't miss out on this huge warehouse sale and receive discounts from 30 to 40% off on the finest Mountain House and Packaway brand freeze-dried and dehydrated foods for long-term food storage or even everyday use. Plus deep discounts on all in-stock survival gear. The Freeze-Dry Guy is offering a wide selection of freeze-dried foods in number 10 cans and even individually packaged entrees. Remember, meats, vegetables, fruits, and long-range patrol rations are the main components for any long-term food storage. This is limited to stock on hand, so hurry and call 866-404-3663 or 530-798-4414. Remember, as always, free shipping to the lower 48 states. So hurry up and call 866-404-3663 or 530-798-4414. Remember, this is limited to stock on hand. The Freeze-Dry Guy is your choice for survival food in an uncertain world.
We are the premier independent talk radio network, the Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
By now, you may have heard a bit about Bitcoins. But did you know Bitcoins are now over an $8.5 billion market? And did you know that over 65,000 businesses now accept Bitcoins? Listen, if you're already earning Bitcoins or trying to make money in the Bitcoin market, you've got to know BidBit.co. Why? Because BidBit.co is where you can easily receive Bitcoin by selling and auctioning off your own personal items or promote business products and services for Bitcoins. You heard right. Whether personal or business, you can now buy, sell, and auction your product and services quickly, easily, and securely for Bitcoin at BidBit.co, the first and only marketplace website to offer BidBit Escrow, a proprietary technology which gives buyers and sellers security and peace of mind because all transactions are protected. Start today. It's free to join, free to post, free to auction, and free to bid at BidBit.co. Buy, sell, bid, or auction everything Bitcoin. That's www.bidbit.co. BidBit.co.
The Genesis Communications Network is one of America's premier broadcasters of captivating talk radio. We thank you for listening. Now, just imagine, there are thousands of people who are just as passionate about radio as you are. But what you may not realize is how easy and affordable it is to advertise with us. Radio commercials for your business could be heard on hundreds of radio stations across the U.S. every day. We can help you by creating an effective radio advertising campaign for your company. From script writing to producing your commercial, just like the one you're listening to right now. No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MYTV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy. And get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
Come away with me in the night. Come away with me. I will you.
Thanks for hanging with us here on America Tonight. A couple of quick things. Remember, you can always hit us up 24/7. It doesn't cost you a cent. Go to americatonight.net. And bada bing, you can also click on the site and jump on Facebook and Twitter. But you can send me your thoughts by clicking on contact just like that, and you're in. Whatever it is that you want to say, whatever you want to share. On that note, we got a mess of mail, meaning a whole bunch. Let's head to the mailbag.
You have mail, mistress.
This one is from Lillian. Hi, Lillian. Lillian says, well, it has been a while since I've emailed you. Of course, I listen most nights. Thank you. The situation with Ms. Hillary is just a mess. I know that you watched the news conference. Oh, yeah. Did you see her body language? It was like watching a little girl getting caught in a big lie about sneaking out of her bedroom window. I sure hope the press holds her feet to the fire. She was a do-nothing Secretary of State. She did travel a good deal. That is true. She logged a lot of miles. On the country's nickel, what did she accomplish? You know what, Lillian? I have to agree with you there. If you were looking for something that she did, something that she did that was huge, some diplomatic stand representing the U.S., the president, because, of course, you serve as the Secretary of State at the pleasure of the president once you get through the hoops that you have to go through. There wasn't anything that was huge. There wasn't any great peace accord or anything that was remarkable. She did travel a lot. And part of being Secretary of State is to keep the peace, to keep those friendly fires burning. And maybe she did that, but I can remember listening to an interview she did where she said, you know, hey, people lie. Everybody lies. Meaning that she meant that the world leaders, some of the people that she was dealing with, would just say one thing and then do another thing. But beyond what did she accomplish, the body language was way off. She was incredibly uncomfortable at the press conference. She doesn't really like the press unless it's somebody that she happens to personally like George Stephanopoulos on ABC, who worked in the Clinton White House and she knows really well. Or Andrea Mitchell, I think she likes her at NBC. And there's probably others. But overall, a gaggle of media descending on her for a press conference, the first one she's had in 2 years. No, she wasn't comfortable. She wasn't comfortable about the whole email thing because it exploded all over the place as to why didn't she have a government account and why did she get rid of her personal emails and when were people going to get to see the emails and that kind of stuff. Timelines and, you know, did she break the law? And she was flippant about that and said, you know, you can ask somebody else. We followed the regulations. And then she did say, I should have had two separate accounts. So, yeah, nobody is going to tell you that Hillary Clinton was comfortable. Even if they are the biggest Hillary Clinton fans in the world, she was clearly not. And so she came off that way. And that's the reason why she may be partially in trouble, because if she's trying to reach out to people who aren't particularly warming up to her, she's not doing herself any favors. She's not. This one from our pal Dennis in Vermont. He says, I wonder who is giving Hillary fashion advice. Looks like she's bucking for the leadership of the Indian Congress Party. What would they say? Everybody just bagging on Hillary. She'll have to be out there and get used to the media. She'll have to figure out a way to be able to relate a little bit more to people. Although on the campaign trail one-on-one, there are people that will tell you that, yeah, she's, you know, they like her, that she's good, that she is relatable. But not, she certainly doesn't come off that way on camera, unless it's somebody that she clearly likes. Steve Croft from 60 Minutes. That would be a comfortable interview for her. Got this email from Marcia. She says, hi, Kate, I enjoy your show. About a week ago, you had a female doctor on your show. She was talking about Obamacare. She mentioned a health insurance company she recommended, but I didn't get the name of it. I am inquiring you. I don't think that was what she meant to say, but she was looking to inquire about this for my 55-year-old son and wife who are paying $900 a month for health insurance. Could you please email me the name of this insurance? Thank you. Any information would be appreciated. And I'm going to email that to you as well, for sure. But I will tell everybody else that the name is, because I've been asked this question a lot, and, you know, it was Dr. Elena George, who I love, frankly. I think she's direct, she's smart, she feels so wronged by Obamacare after killing herself to get through Princeton that she refuses to shut down her practice, and she's done a lot to help her patients in Washington, D.C. She has a direct pay practice so that people can afford it. The company she's talking about, Liberty Health Share. Liberty Health Share is the company. And she mentioned that for her, and this probably could be different for everybody else, but she paid $199 for that, and then she paid $20 a month for Aflac Supplemental. And the Aflac, if she had cancer or something happened, they would send her a check. She would get a check for $1 million for the supplemental insurance. So So I think that this could help, Marsh. You know, send this to your family, and I know there are other people that have definitely taken up the banner for let's go in some other alternative route, and this is one that has worked. All right, this one is from Nick, who says, Kate, love the show. I am very happy with you for looking at all sides of healthcare. I heard Dan in Texas make a snarky remark to you, and I do know he likes you, but I want to defend you on that. Good for you, because you always say, let's invite the left. Let's invite, if you're right, left, left, somewhere in between. That's something I've heard you say. And quite often, the Democrats don't call your show. Sometimes they do, or sometimes people that have an alternative point of view or libertarian point of view or don't seem to really sway to either side of any party. I say bravo to you for doing that and inviting everybody to say something instead of just smashing them in the head, as so many talk show hosts do. Wouldn't it be easy for you to just jump and climb all over everybody? Probably even more lucrative. But I like the fact that you stick to your guns and you truly do try, in my opinion, to include others into the conversation. All right. Nice. Thank you. And, you know, it is true. I really mean that. And if you listen to what I say, I'm not a fan of healthcare the way it is. I'm not. Because I think the middle class has been squeezed out. I've seen it in my family where it's good. I've said this a million times, so I don't want to sound like I'm just repeating myself constantly like a parrot. But in my family, you know, it's like split. So pre-existing condition, good that now you can get covered. But bad as for what the rates are. And what the premiums are and what the copays are and ultimately what the deductible is. So I find that a lot of people are being squeezed on that. And the one thing I absolutely don't like, no matter what, and I understand why they're doing this, because they're forcing it. They were slamming it down people's throats. So the first thing is, no, if you like your health care coverage, don't worry, it won't change. Well, baloney. Of course, it did change for almost everybody, unless they had worked for a giant company with massive bodies and had employer-based insurance. Still, their insurance might not be as good, might not cover as much, but a lot of things might have been similar. But so many other people got thrown under the bus, and they believed that the coverage was going to be the same, and of course, it wasn't. And then the other thing that happened is the individual mandate, forcing people to do something they don't want to do, forcing you to get health insurance or get fined. And those fines keep climbing up. And there are so many people that are trying to figure out, dude, I got to pay the light bill. How am I going to do this? They're juggling bills. And it's not because they're lazy. It's not because they didn't work hard. They might not have gotten the right opportunity. They might have been let go from XYZ company that went overseas because they could do something cheaper. So let me just clear that up if there's any doubt about that. Not a fan. A fan of aspects of it, of the pre-existing, of helping kids, of being able to cut, being able to give people affordable health care. But the problem is, it's not truly affordable for most people. A chunk of people, yes. A chunk of people, the subsidies were like life preservers. And also some of those people, same scenario, nurses, people who had jobs on construction jobs, assembly lines, whatever. And through no fault of their own, somebody had a crippling disease and they're getting buried in these costs. Buried in the cost. All right, one quick one. This one from Joe. Joe says, Kate, Ferguson is a mess. I would not want to be the next police chief in Ferguson, Missouri. You couldn't pay me enough money. I felt, in a way, sorry for the last guy. Certainly, there are some nefarious sources at work there on all
all sides of this. On that note, remember, you can always email me, americatonight.net. Jeff Steyer next. Pay attention. Good stuff.
What good is a Big Berkey water filter?
We get that question a lot here at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And in a word, the answer is protection. Protection from water main breaks, E. coli contamination, environmental chemical spills, pesticide runoff, chlorine taste and smell, and all forms of fluoride. Plus, Big Berkey water filters are the original gravity water filter system and most trusted on the market for a reason. Tested by multiple independent NSF EPA certified labs, they are the gold standard in water purification. At only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. That means big savings. Big Berkey, the one that's powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get a Big Berkey today at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit our website or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Here is what one doctor has to say about Extendovite.
I would like to thank you, Don, for making my job so much easier, because your products just make it so simple, right? To fool around with a lot of exotic things that don't work, we can just put them on your product and things start to work almost right away. I've had dozens of patients with heart problems who have corrected them, and what it's doing, there's so much garlic in there that has a yeast-killing effect. The yeast is a big problem in the gut, pushes the liver hard. It also has metal chelating effect, and most of the other herbs in there I find that strengthen the arteries. They help to neutralize free radicals. Your remedy close to what we do in our program as you can get as far as one supplement goes. It's working on the gut, it's working on the liver, it's working on the arteries. What more can you ask for?
To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
I'm really glad my buddy Mark turned me on to GunsAD.com. I got to tell you, I didn't want to buy any more firearms. I didn't want a paperwork trail headed back to Big Brother. I want 100% privacy. I want to be an invisible gun owner. Hello? So Mark says, hey, you know, GunsAD.com, Ghost AR-15. Ghost means invisible. Get it? Ghost AR-15. GunsAD.com. I got a couple, if you know what I mean. Go to GunsAD.com or call 844-2GUNS80.
This is Rick Osick, president of Famous Footwear. Our company is working together with the March of Dimes through March for Babies to raise money and awareness about the serious problem of premature birth in the U.S. As a business leader, I know that babies born very sick or too soon cost businesses billions of dollars each year, in addition to the emotional stress on employees and their families. That's why Famous Footwear is committed to raising funds to improve the health of moms and babies everywhere. Won't you please join us in the March for Babies? Start a team today at marchforbabies.org.
My heart is crying, crying. No one to drop. My pillow never drops. No one to drop.
All right, we've had him on before, and he's just absolutely terrific. Jeff Steyer's with us, and he is in our virtual green room, as I am fond of saying. And we're going to talk about this proposed rule to ban chemicals and why he thinks it's invalid, or why, based on the research. And, of course, he's with the National Center for Public Policy Research. Jeff, thanks, as always, for coming on to shed some light on some crazy things that are happening from the Consumer Product Safety Commission and what they're doing and how they're kind of pushing, I'll call it, the boundaries of the envelope. And a lot of this goes, not unchecked by you, but it goes unchecked by the consumer, because you know this, frankly, people are running around 100 miles an hour, but this is something that they need to know, because we're talking about a chemical that's used in a lot of goods to make them more durable and to prevent plastics from shattering. So first of all, tell us about the chemical and what you found out.
Well, Kate, it's great to be back with you. Thank you. This is just another one of those cases that shows us why the Consumer Product Safety Commission, which has an important mission to keep us safe and also to keep safe products on the market, is abusing its mandate. And it's really troubling because that really undermines our trust in government. And when they claim to use science that's bad science, we need to stand up to it. It reminds me of what happened a few years ago when the Consumer Product Safety Commission was tasked with the important role of keeping lead out of children's toys. I think we could all agree that's a good idea. When a ATV or a motorcycle that was built with extra safety precautions and built small for 15-year-olds, they found that there was lead inside the battery. And because of a concern that children might chew on the lead, children's toys can't have lead in them, they banned the motorcycles. So it's really kind of backwards thinking, and this is another example of it. Here's a chemical that has been, many classes of the chemical have been banned a number of years ago. And they picked out another chemical that they wanted to take away. It's called DINP. It's a type of phthalate. It keeps plastics bendable, as you pointed out, so that they don't shatter. You'll find it in things like rain boots, which are important. And what the agency did is they looked at science. They had their scientific advisory panel look at the data of exposure. And what they looked at was cumulative data. They wanted to look at exposure to all of the phthalates and to see whether we started reaching a threshold that became dangerous. And they built on precaution after precaution to kind of reach these very, very low levels of exposure to see if we reach that threshold. What they did wrong, though, was they looked at very old data that had higher levels of exposure than we actually have today. How do we know that we have lower exposures today? There are studies that show it. And it makes perfect sense. There are low exposures today because a lot of the other phthalates were banned a number of years ago. So, of course, we have lower exposures today. So it wouldn't make sense for anyone looking at the data, the current data, to ban a chemical that we use today based on data, cumulative data, that's out of date, that we know is wrong, especially when you're banning the chemical because of cumulative exposure. So what the Consumer Product Safety Commission was classic junk science, classic chemophobia, and they assumed that we wouldn't read the science. Well, we caught them on this one. It was a very... You know, it was a very closed process. It was not an open peer review process at the Consumer Product Safety Commission. So it was bound to go wrong. It did. And now we have our last chance to stand up to this really bad precedent. I have submitted my comments to the Consumer Product Safety Commission. And if you and your listeners think that the Consumer Product Safety Commission should only ban chemicals when it's justified by current science, then you have an opportunity to submit comments as I did. And you can see on the National Center's website, nationalcenter.org, on our blog what I have said on Twitter at Jeff A. Steyer, S-T-I-E-R. I'll post a link so you can go comment yourself and tell the Consumer Product Safety Commission that if you're going to take away safe and useful products, you need to show that there's science behind it, and the science is not there.
Yeah, When you have these public comments, I'm assuming, because we know this from other things, when there's more, then they have to pay attention to it, right? If they're just bombarded by it, they can't ignore it and say, well, this is what we're doing.
And it's important that they hear your voices. Too often people say, well, I'm not a scientist. I'm not a professional. Jeff does this for a living. I don't know what to do. Well, you can take a look at my comments. I'll tell you the other side does this. Take a look at my comments. Or you can simply say, don't ban this chemical. Here's the example of why they want to ban it. I don't want to get too technical, but it's really going to blow your mind. These boots that I mentioned are a great example. They've got a very little bit of this chemical in it. The old ban applied to different chemicals for products that were mouthed. So if it's a rubber ducky that kids put in their mouths and chew on, I could understand there's some exposure. I read the report. The report says that if you touch a product and a child may put his or her hands in his mouth, then you're going to have exposure from touching it. So if you touch the boot, I mean, there's no science to back this up. They've placed precaution on top of precaution. When there's doubt about the science, they err on the side of caution layer after layer after layer so that it becomes so inconceivable that there's any risk here. And then they say, well, the only risk is cumulative exposure based on data that's no longer relevant because the other chemicals are banned. So it's just layer on top of layer on top of layer. These are the New Merchants of Doubt. It's the name of a popular book that just came out. These anti-chemical activists are putting layer and layer and layer on of doubt, of inconceivable possibilities to reach a dangerous exposure, and then saying, let's ban it. If this is the new standard, Kate, we aren't going to be left with any useful products because everything would be dangerous if this were the standard we would use. So it's important now to stand up for the principle that the government should not be taking away safe and useful products from consumers if they don't have the science to justify it.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess this is kind of a layup question, but as they, as an organization, as a government arm, and they look at this and they look at products, what sways them in a certain way? Just, okay, well, this is enough science, so we don't have to go deeper on this? Or how do you think that works?
Well, that's an excellent question, because I read the science that the agency relied upon, and then I read kind of their regurgitation of it, and it seems that even they didn't completely understand the science, because the statements that they made acknowledge that, well, we're not really sure why they wanted to ban this DINT chemical for even non-mouthing, but we guess it makes sense, so let's ban it. And then what they did, Kate, they said, you know, it wouldn't really be too big of a burden on industry because they don't really rely on it much anyway. That is not the standard that the law requires. It may be the standard that the Consumer Product Safety Commission is using, is, well, we don't really think the science really supports it, but industry doesn't really need that chemical anyway, so let's ban it. That is not the standard, and I wrote this in my comments. That is not the standard that Congress used for banning chemicals. And the Consumer Product Safety Commission exists because Congress gave it the authority to exist. And it is now acting outside the scope of their authority. And they need to hear that. They need to hear that you aren't allowed to ban chemicals on weak science and then justify it by saying, eh, it wasn't that important of a chemical anyway. That's not a standard. That's not a scientific standard, and that's not a legal standard.
Yeah, and obviously, because, as you said, this is what you're doing and you're looking into it, you know, how many other people are out there? I mean, you know, watchdog-wise. And there are others that are trying to do it. It's just there are not enough people really raising the roof on it, you know, so to speak.
Exactly, Kate. And you are absolutely correct. The Consumer Product Safety Commission is required by law to read and take into account each and every point raised by your listeners, by the public. This is an opportunity. You know, we have these phone calls all the time and we talk about these issues. Here's an opportunity to take a stand and have your voice heard, telling the agency, don't do this without the science.
Yeah, don't do it without the science, because in the end it affects so many people. And of course, if they do that, then what are we left with? We come back around to what we were talking about at the beginning of this conversation. Then we're in a different kind of hole, and we've got products that aren't as safe, right?
Well, that's always a risk, right? We take away a safe and useful product and use something new that we don't have as well tested. You know, I don't love that argument because the new alternatives generally haven't been found to be harmful either, and it relies on the same junk science to claim they're harmful. But if that's the type of thinking that it takes to persuade the Consumer Product Safety Commission to buy into their precautionary approach, I'm fine with it.
I love that. Jeff Steyer, it's been too long. It was great to have you on. He is the NCPPR's Director of Risk Analysis. We'll talk to you again down the road.
I always look forward to it, Kate. Thank you.
Thanks, Jeff.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturing structures. If you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.